Christian greeting to each one again here this evening. We count it a privilege to be here, to hear from God again tonight, be revived, reminded, convicted, encouraged. We don't know what all God has for us tonight. Turn in your church hymnals to number 232. Brother Claire mentioned something about this song the other evening. At that point, God had already laid it on my heart to preach on this. And Brother Claire had a good introduction to our sermon tonight without knowing it. But thinking tonight, the second phrase, the second line, it talks about going beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. This whole song is talking about our relationship with God and how we seek Him and to what extent are we willing to go to know God. I mentioned last night, we want to talk about knowing God. I've entitled the message, Knowing the Author. And as we think of the going beyond the sacred page and seeking Him, I think to start off with, as an introduction, we'll go ahead and sing this song. If the chorister could lead us in this song at this time. Think of the words as we sing. Many times when we sing, I have to wonder, do I really mean what we sang? If all of us that were singing here this evening live this out every day, and we look at this and say, that's me. That's what I want to be, and that's what I'm going to live. We have our message right there. We could fellowship and go home. But as humans, we need strong reminders sometimes. We need reminders. We need to encourage ourselves in the Word. What does it mean to go beyond the sacred page? Many years that I sang that song and never gave it a thought. What is the sacred page? It's the Word of God, isn't it? It's the Word of God. How do we want to go beyond the Word of God? Beyond the sacred page? Isn't that a dangerous thing to do? Isn't that a dangerous thing to do? Turn with me to John chapter 4 for a few verses. John chapter 4, verse 19 to 24. We recognize this as a chapter of Jesus being at the well waiting on his disciples, and this woman came and they had a conversation. Samaritan woman there. And Jesus was communicating there with her. Verse 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23 and 24, notice those words. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And anybody of us that want to worship God in spirit and in truth must go beyond the sacred page. We must know the author of the Word, and not only the Word. We must go beyond knowing the Scriptures, knowing what it says. We need to go beyond that and do it and have a relationship with the author of the Word. That's what it means to go beyond the sacred page. It's not a dangerous thing. It's the right thing. It's the right thing. It's what God desires of us. Here's talking about worshiping in spirit and in truth. True worshipers, genuine worshipers, are going to worship in spirit and in truth, in reality. Not only in spirit, not only in things that they say, not only in things that they profess, but the things that they do. The things that they do. And the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He is seeking you tonight to worship Him in reality. So easy for us to say it. So easy for us to even share a testimony on it. But what do our lives reveal? How is it deep down within? Do we know the author of the Word? Do we go beyond just knowing it? And do we have a relationship with the author? We've talked a lot about it this week of that relationship that was broken back in the garden. And knowing the author is restored relationship. With God the Father. We're familiar with the verse out of Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. What does it mean to love God that way? And by the way, what's left? After you love God that way, to that extent, what's left? How much of yourself is left? How much of other extracurricular is left in time for? Do we love God that way? Do we know Him beyond the sacred page? Turn to Psalm 42. Here we have a cry of David. And I want us to think about it. Do we know God in this way? The way I say a Psalm of David, whoever was writing this, I didn't research it real closely. My Bible at least doesn't say, but whoever it was that was writing this, there was a cry coming from his heart. And tonight, I want each one of us to think, is this the cry of my heart? Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Can you just see the heart's cry of the psalmist here? He says, my heart just longs after God. Is that my experience tonight? Does my heart just long after God? He says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When can I come into His presence once again? He says. When can I come and appear in his presence? It's a challenge for us to appear in his presence. Our busy schedules, and it's okay to be busy, but not too busy. Do we have a desire to be in the presence of God? Do we have a desire? And the presence of God is not only here. This is a meeting house. This is not the house of God. This is a meeting house. The heart, the house of God is within you. That's the temple of the living God. That's each one of us as God's people, is a temple of the living God. So when can we come and appear? It's not, like I said, just a meeting at church. When can I get up? Do I get up early enough in the morning and spend time with God? Do I thirst for him to that extent? Do I want to have a relationship with the author? Or am I satisfied with just knowing the sacred page? Do I have that intense desire? Psalm 63 in verse 1. Here is David's thirst after God. Psalm 63 verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What do we do when we feel dry and thirsty? Spiritually. What's the point? I didn't get much out of it yesterday. And I do have a schedule again today, and I'm just going to run along. I probably will tonight. But David said, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Where no water is. Do we seek after God? Do our hearts thirst after him? Do we have that intense desire to be and to be with and to know the author of the word? Do we want to go beyond the sacred page? Or are we content to know what the word says? Mark chapter 12. It takes it one step farther. Here's a discussion that Jesus had with some people. Mark chapter 12. And we again have this verse that we quoted out of Deuteronomy. Mark chapter 12. In verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the word our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. This man had some insight on this. He said, if I love God that way, it is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. It is going beyond the good things that I can do. It goes well beyond coming to church Sunday mornings and throughout revival meetings and everything else. It goes beyond, may I say, even being a church member. Just being a church member this evening does not mean that you know the author of the word. Okay? May it be that plain? God's word says that. If we are that is not enough. You can lay down a lot of things in your life. You can put off a lot of things. But it's still not enough if you don't know the author of the word. We got some real straightforward comments by Jesus we're going to look at here this evening and remind ourselves of that. We need to go beyond the sacred page and to seek after him. There's a promise in God's word as well that if we seek after him, we will find him. We will find him. What is the longing in your heart tonight? What is the desires of your hearts tonight? Knowing the scripture is not enough. A number of years ago on a job, I was doing a big... Anyways, working at the local hospital, lawn care work, I believe it was. And this man came out and... But the first thing is he came out and he was standing there kind of looking around, and he stepped up to me and said, have you got a cigarette for me? I said, no, I don't. But I said, I got something a whole lot better to offer to you. Oh, he said, I know the Bible. That's all I had to say. I know the Bible. He said, I can quote you a lot of scripture right now. And so we talked about that for a moment, and I assured him that if you really know the author of the word, is a whole lot better than any cigarette that I could have offered you. But you know what? He knew the Bible. He quoted scripture. He says, I memorized it. But you know what he was leaning on in a time of stress? Was his cigarettes. Why? Because he did not know the author of the word. He knew the scriptures. He knew the sacred page. But he had no relationship with the author. For us tonight, I don't think it's cigarettes. I really don't think so. Probably for none of us here. But it could be other things that we lean on and that we look to and we wonder how we can go on. Do we have a relationship with the author? It goes beyond any good thing that we can do. It's loving the Lord our God that way. If we need to go beyond that, there was people. John chapter 5. Here was a group of Jews that thought that they really spent a lot of time studying the scripture. And the Jews were very, very careful on studying the scriptures. And they were very familiar with it. But they had a problem. And Jesus points that out to them. John chapter 5. I'll just start at verse 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Now notice verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. He says you spend a lot of time searching the scriptures. And it's okay to search the scriptures. We need to do that. Absolutely. We just talked about that. Spending time in the word. But he said, what you're doing, Jews, is you're searching the scriptures, but you're not coming to me. You're not even believing what the scriptures are saying. You're not coming to me that you can have life. You're looking for something. And you think that your life is in, as long as I know the scriptures, as long as I know what the scripture says and I do the law to the T. The Jews were very, very careful to follow everything to the T, but they still didn't know Jesus Christ. They still didn't come for life because they were looking at this thing to try to come up with an argument to the fact that Jesus really wasn't the Messiah. They were studying it. And what were they studying? Obviously, they didn't have the New Testament. They were studying the Old Testament laws. And as they studied some of those, they said, you know what? This Jesus is a deceiver. He's not the Messiah. There is no way he can be. And so that's what they were teaching the scripture, the people. That's what they were teaching them. But they were searching the scriptures, and Jesus says, the scriptures testify of me. And you're not doing that. You're not coming to me that you may have life. What about us tonight? Are we coming to Christ so that we can have life? What is life? What is eternal life? John 17 tells us what eternal life is. John 17, beautiful passage. Tremendous passage. But John 17 in verse 3, very simple definition of eternal life. Jesus says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you know the author of the word? Do you know the Father? Do you know the true God? If you know the true God tonight, if you have a relationship with the true God tonight, you have eternal life. But if you know the Scriptures tonight, and you can use the Scriptures tonight, you can quote the Scriptures tonight, you can do a lot of good things tonight, but you don't have a relationship with the author of the Word, the love of the Father is not in you. That's what the Scripture says. We do not have eternal life unless we have a relationship with the author of the Word. And knowing the author is that restored relationship. That restored relationship that comes through repentance and brokenness. Repentance of the sin that we have done. The darkness. Last night we said we'd put away the works of darkness. Anything that distracts us. And you know, we can even go to a point where we can study. And study, we can even preach a sermon. And we can do a good job preaching a sermon. Or we can do a good job having a devotion or even a topic. And we can impress people. And we still be lost. Paul said, that I need to bring my body under subjection, lest I preach to others and I myself be a castaway. He had to live out the word that he was preaching. But Paul was preaching tremendously powerful sermons. But he said he himself need to be careful, lest he himself be cast away. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Awful words, awful words. These people thought that they were doing this for God, but they had no relationship with the Father. They had no relationship with Him. They did a lot of wonderful things. Even in His name, they said. We're talking about knowing the author, but here Jesus says, I never knew you. And so not only tonight is the question, do we know the author? Do we know the author of the sacred page? But does He know us? Does He know us? You know, for a good close relationship, for a proper relationship, both parties know each other. You can't have a relationship with anybody, and if that person has no idea who you are. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But that's the way it is. So the question again, the question as well for us tonight is, does God know us? If you are familiar with the Word and you know and understand on who God is, doesn't mean there's a relationship with Him. You just know who He is. Here we have heareth and doeth. That's actually in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, that's where the difference comes in. Heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. It boils down to obedience of God's word. Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Okay, he had a long discussion in John 8. He had a long discussion with the people. And as a matter of fact, after he spoke a certain part of it, they said the number of them believed on him. And so he spoke to those that believed on him, and he challenged them of their works. And they got upset at him. Heareth and doeth them. As we have a relationship with the author, as we know God the Father, there is liberty in that. Galatians chapter 5. We need to read those few verses. How does love for our God manifest itself in our lives? How is that going to be evident in our lives? It is going to be. We cannot live a Christian life, we cannot live a vibrant Christian life without it being evident. There's a story told of a girl that went to college years ago, and she was there for a while, and she stayed on campus there, and college, university, whatever it was. She came home, and she was telling some of her friends, you know, she said, I think I was the only Christian there, and nobody ever found out. She thought she did a pretty good job hiding it. Some of us do a pretty good job hiding it sometimes. Yeah. But you know what? If you are a true child of God, you're not going to be able to hide it. Is that right? You're not going to be able to hide it. It will come out. How does it manifest itself in our life? For one, it was the hearing and the doing. Galatians 5, verse 13 and 14. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We have been called unto liberty. This phrase is often misused. That when we become a child of God, we are not bound by any rule. And that is not true. We are bound by the law of Christ Jesus, the law of life by Christ Jesus that we read about the other evening. This liberty is not a liberty to do. It's not gives us freedom to do. This liberty is freedom to be what God wants you to be. Did you catch the difference? This is not freedom to do. It's freedom to be what God wants you to be. How's that going to manifest itself in our life? Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Are you familiar with the author of the word tonight? How do you live your life? Do people know you're a Christian? Does that come out in all areas of life? You know, as a matter of fact, you can even dress like one and that doesn't say a thing. You could even deceive a few people that way. But the true test is what's inside your heart. What's inside your heart? Let's look at Luke chapter 13. Here we have another example of people that knew but didn't have a relationship. These are religious people. Similar to idea that we read here before, out of Matthew, I believe it was. But Luke 13, starting at verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand outside, out without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. Those are sobering verses tonight for each one of us. Jesus is not only talking to the people there. He is talking to us tonight. He is talking to us tonight. Do we have a relationship? Does God know us? These people had been in the presence of God. He says, have we not eaten and drunk in your presence? And you taught in our streets. Jesus, we heard you preach. We were there with you. But he says, I never knew you. I don't know whence you are. He said, depart from me. Depart from me. Tonight, all of us have been in the presence of God. All of us have heard Jesus teach. Not in the same way these people might have. But all of us have heard the word being taught time and time again. We have been, in that way, we have been in his presence. We have been in the presence of God's people. And so we are well familiar with what God's word says. But think for yourself, what answer are you going to get when you are there where these people were? Where are you going to be? Are you going to stand without, and are you going to have to knock on the door, or are you going to be in there with him? The virgins did the same thing. Those five foolish ones. They just waited too long. They waited too long, and by the time they were ready to go in, the door was shut. And friends, tonight, a time is coming when that door is going to be shut. What side of the door are you going to be on? Only those who Jesus knows. And Jesus says, I know my sheep. I know my sheep. He says that. Does Jesus know you tonight? And only ones that he knows are going to be on that side of the door where he is. And the rest, we're going to be knocking. God says, I never knew you. I never knew you. Verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're going to see others go in. We're going to see others that have gone in. Maybe it's going to be family members that have gone in. Maybe it's whoever it's going to be. Maybe even people we didn't think are even going to go in. You know, see how judgmental us as humans can get. But the judge of all the earth, the one that judgeth righteously, will judge righteously at that time. And we're going to see others go in. But he says how awful it's going to be when ourselves are thrust out. Where are you tonight? Do you have a relationship with the Heavenly Father? And does he know you tonight? Does he know you? Are you going beyond the sacred page? These were religious people. You notice that? These were religious people. And being religious tonight is not enough. Is not enough. We want a relationship. So we notice the answer that they get. And God have mercy on us tonight. You know, it's easy for me to think, we read these stories, we're familiar with these stories, but this time is coming. Tonight, I tremble at that thought. I tremble at that thought. What about us? If we know and we love the author of the word, what kind of response are we going to produce from our lives? What's that going to make a difference for us? I'm going to touch on that briefly. But also, what kind of response is it going to come from the Heavenly Father? Where are you tonight? Does he know you as his child? Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, in verse 45, is maybe a gauge, or maybe a sign, whether we know the author or not. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. That's not only talking about the evil one, that's talking about the good one too. How freely do you speak about the author of the word? Is that something that you're comfortable with? Is that a comfortable subject for you to bring up? Sometimes if the setting is right, right? If we really walk and live in the Spirit and we love God with our whole heart, soul, and mind and strength, it's going to affect, it's going to govern our conversations. The words out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if the abundance of your heart is a close walk with God, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. And I know, at least largely tonight, I'm speaking to conservative Mennonites, and it's easy for us to be quiet. Okay, it's easy for us to be quiet. We don't want to get too radical and get too worked up about our relationship with God. Why not? Why not? Remember that box I had here the other night? We put ourselves in a box and say, yeah, but those that get all worked up and vocal about their relationship with the Lord, there's something wrong. With some of them, there is. Okay, some of them, there is. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I'm bothered by that many times, because it's so much easier to talk about earthly things, and we hesitate to bring up the subject about our relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, what better opportunity for you to encourage your brothers and sisters by asking, how is it going with your relationship with God? Do you ever do that? Do you feel comfortable enough to do that? And if not, why not? Why not? Why not bring it up to them? Aren't you concerned about them? Does anybody ever ask you about it? I know it's kind of a different thing for conservative Mennonites to do that. But the Scripture is not written just to conservative Mennonites. And the Scripture tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If your relationship with God really means something to you, aren't you going to talk about it? Your farming means something to you. Yes, it does. Your logging and what kind of skidders you run and your cutters you run means something to you. And whatever other subject, it means something to you. You talk about it. What does your relationship with God mean to you tonight? Do you know Him? Do you have a relationship with Him? It will come out, brothers and sisters and friends tonight. It's going to come out. It's bound to be, because it's just, if your heart panteth after the water brook. And imagine the excitement and the praise that can be produced out of a heart that pants after God. Yes, we might be known as the quiet in the land, but too many times so. Talk about it. Encourage one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. What is coming out? Do you know the author? Do you know the author of the word? Does he know you tonight? Does he know you? You know, tonight, the fact is, you may know the word. You may be familiar with the word. You may be able to memorize it and quote a lot of scripture tonight. And that's not necessarily our thought. Continue to know the word. Continue to study it. But the question we really need to answer tonight is, does he know me? Does he know me? That's the question that we need answered for tonight. Because the day will come when that door is going to be shut, like I said before. Where are we going to be? Are you willing to settle that question in your mind tonight? And I'm sure a lot of you have already. You're sitting there comfortably, and that's that wonderful, wonderful. I'm sure it's settled in your mind tonight. But maybe if it's not, maybe your heart is pounding tonight and you know that that question is not answered. And you know for a fact that God does not know you. Maybe you're blaming that on somebody else. I don't know what's going through your mind. I don't know your lives. I don't know your background. I don't know. I really don't. But God does. His Holy Spirit does. And He's going to convict your heart, because He knows your heart and He knows the will of God. And He knows whether God the Father knows you. And so tonight, again, is a time of mercy for you to settle that question in your mind and in your heart. Does God know me? That's what the question God has. And if you're not sure tonight, I plead with you to make sure tonight. Before you fall asleep tonight, make sure. Make sure, because the day has been appointed. Tonight, do we know the author? Do we go beyond the sacred page? Do we have a desire to be with him? Do we long to spend time with him? I know it's a struggle sometimes. Sometimes it's drier than other times. But that should just... What happens when you don't eat quite enough in one meal? By the time next meal time comes around, you're just a little hungrier, right? That's the way it should be in our Christian life too. If it was not quite enough last time, you know what? Find something else and go for it. Have a living relationship with Christ. And brothers and sisters, encourage one another in the same thing by your lives, by example, and by the abundance of your heart. So tonight, I want to give you another opportunity to know the author and settle the question in your mind, does God know you? Are you one of his tonight? Settle that. I'm going to sing an invitation hymn. And if you know God does not know you, or you don't know God, tonight is the night of opportunity. Tonight is the night of mercy for you again. May you find rest for your soul. What shall we sing?
Church hymn of 565.
Come just as you are. That's God's call. That's the way each one of us had to. God receiveth sinful people. People that aren't sure. People that are not do not know where they stand with God. He wants you to come. He wants you to come just as you are. Before we sing, why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word, the living Word, the true Word of God that can burn in our hearts, that we can know and understand and have a relationship with the author and a restored relationship. Father, we thank you for the clear direction of your Word. And tonight, as we sit here and our heads are bowed, Father, you can look among us. And you know who we are. And you know which one of us are your children. And maybe there's some here that aren't your children. Lord, you know that too. And you have a desire tonight that they would be your children. So, Father, speak to us. Convict my heart and each one of us, Lord, to a closer walk with you. Speak to us, Lord, and have thy way. And grant courage and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we sing, you want to settle that question in your mind. Stand to your feet, raise your hand, whatever you're comfortable with. But we want to help you through to that. Shall we sing? He's going to enter in. We ask the question, is he going to enter in? Yes, he will. Are you willing to come tonight? Are you willing to answer and settle that question in your heart tonight? Take courage. If God is calling you, let's sing one more verse.
As you are, just as you are, God.
Are you tired of your sins tonight? Are you tired of it? He will kindly welcome you. He's going to take your sins away if you're willing. If you're willing to know Him, settle that question. And find rest. Let's sing one more verse. God bless you for coming tonight, being here. Trust we can go and we can continue to worship and to serve. The day will come when our service is going to be over. Time of serving is going to be over. We're going to be in His presence. We look forward to that. Let's be ready, brothers and sisters and friends. Let's be ready for that. That time will be glorious. Shall we stand for benediction?